Last fall, we had a new septic system put in our backyard. Shockingly, it is unacceptable to put a modified oil tank in your backyard thinking that that's going to carry the weight for the long haul. So we had to replace that and put a new septic system in. And now that the spring is here, our backyard needs some love and attention. So we've been doing a lot of raking, getting some of the stones out of the ground, putting some new topsoil down in spots where it needs it. We've just started to plant some seed to get our lawn back. And here's the struggle that's coming for me, and I know it's a trivial one, but it really gets to the point of our conversation this morning. And the struggle that's coming for me is, do I have the patience to wait for God's good design to unfold, where with a little bit of sun, a little bit of water, a little bit of time, that grass seed is just going to naturally do what it's designed to do? Or will I become so impatient with the lack of lawn that I'll run to Home Depot and buy those 2x3 sod patches, buy a bunch, bring it home, and have an instant lawn? As I've been working in our backyard over the last several weeks, planting grass seed, this whole theme of patience has been on my mind. Today, we're going to work through this conversation because in a very real way, the lack of patience, yes, it's always been around, but at this moment in history, it is on full display. In fact, the lack of patience, it's breathtaking. We see it in the Let's Go Back to Work protests across North America. It's our lack of patience that's driving this. It's what's underneath the frustration that you might feel while you're shopping, and no longer are they bagging your groceries and you have to bag them yourself, which if you're someone like me and you love to pack things and you find it a challenge and you can quickly move through that, it's fine. But if you're watching someone else in front of you try to pack their groceries, there can be this anxiety that grows in you, this frustration that grows in you. Well, that is our patience coming to the surface. The continual asking of the questions of, well, how long before we can go back? How long before we can do this? And when can we? All of these are evidences of this lack of patience in our lives. We see it getting played out in church life across the West, here at home, and even in our own church. When can we go back to our buildings? When can we get our kids' programming back up and going? When can we? When can we? How long before? All of this is driven by our issues of patience. Our lack of patience is everywhere. And now more than ever, it's leaking out all over the place. And before we go any further into this conversation, I want to highlight for you this morning God's heart on this particular matter, because he says a lot as it relates to issues of patience in our lives. So very quickly, there's three passages that I've chosen for us this morning, but there are dozens that I could have picked from. The first one is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, where it reads, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." In Proverbs 15:18, it reads, "A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel." In Romans 12:12, it reads, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Now, if we pause for a moment, I want to dive into some stories and take a longer look at what happens to people when they act quickly, when they act in haste. Because quite frankly, when we do this, it ushers in harm and brokenness into our lives that often alters the trajectory of our life in one way or another. If you know the Bible well, there's a few stories that you will be familiar with. And through the lens of patience, we're going to examine them. And the first one is Abraham and Sarah. If you know this story, God calls Abraham, and from Abraham and his offspring will be all kinds of children, so many children that will rival the stars in the heavens. Well, Abraham and Sarah are old when God makes this promise to them. And as the years tick by, their impatience causes them to birth an idea from Sarah. "Hey, Abram, maybe God means that you should sleep with Hagar, our servant girl, our slave girl. Maybe it's through you sleeping with her that this promise of God will come to fruition." And I can't even imagine what Abraham is thinking in this moment. "You want me to do what?" Sure. So he does. And he and Hagar sleep together. And from that relationship comes Ishmael. The brokenness that ensues between Abraham and Sarah and they towards Hagar and Ishmael is breathtaking. Another story is from Saul in his life. You can read it in 1 Samuel chapter 13, where Saul is given clear instruction to wait for Samuel, the high priest. He's to wait for Samuel because together they, under Samuel's leadership, they will offer up sacrifices to the Lord to prepare for battle. Saul arrives to the appointed place a little bit early. Samuel is late getting there. People begin to leave Saul, and Saul, out of haste, doesn't wait and offers up the sacrifices himself. When Samuel arrives, he says this, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. The Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now, your kingdom will not continue." This is the very moment where Saul's life in a variety of ways begins to come undone. He loses his throne. He becomes jealous. He becomes tormented, all because he acted quickly, all because of his lack of patience. Christ followers, if we spend any amount of time in the text of Scripture, it becomes incredibly clear that God desires for us to be a patient people, to be a people who know how to wait. Maybe, just maybe, this is one of the ways in which God intends to use this COVID moment in history in our lives. Going back to Tyler's sermon 2 weeks ago, why would I ever want to go back to being connected to the most impatient people group to have ever lived in human history? The Western world, we are built on instant, and it's everywhere. And if it's not instant, we head to Yelp and let everybody know our frustrating experience about how long something took, because apparently we just can't wait a few more minutes. If you think about it, everything in our world trains us to be impatient. Fast food. I can order my food through an intercom, drive ahead 15 to 20 meters, and in a matter of moments, my meal is ready. And the audacity for them to ask me to pull over to the side to wait for my chicken to be cooked so that I won't die sometimes gets people really, really upset. Renting movies. If you're under the age of 20, you will not believe the story that I'm about to tell you. When I grew up, there was a day where I had to actually leave my home, get into my car, drive into the city, go to Blockbuster or Jumbo, walk through a store, look for a movie that I wanted to rent, get back in my car, go home, put it in my VCR, and watch the movie. The whole exercise was actually teaching people how to be patient. And there was moments, get a load of this, where you would go to the store and the movie that you wanted to rent was already rented, which then you had to go back next week to watch that very movie. Now, I don't have to go anywhere. I don't even have to get dressed. I, from my living room, can download a movie to my TV on demand instantly. The frustration grows when I have to wait for it to buffer. And if it takes too long, well, I'll call Bell and complain that the speed isn't fast enough for me. Amazon Prime, my patience is linked to this, where I can order things. 2 days later, if it's not here, we get upset and we want our money back and we begin to complain about these things. Text messages. I know in my own life, I'm guilty of this. I'll send a note off to someone expecting that they are on their phone waiting for me to text them. And if I don't hear from them in a matter of moments, I'll be like, I wonder if they're dead. Are they okay? No, they have a life. They're doing something and they might not be right there to respond to the question that you're asking them. If we look at some of the more serious aspects of life, impatience is everywhere, and it brings serious harm into our lives. Personal debt. We live in a time where people refuse to wait and save so they can buy things without owing someone money. The level of harm and brokenness and stress and anxiety that many individuals and couples experience because they just will not wait. They have to have it. They put it on a credit card. And then they end up paying 15 times the amount for an item that if they waited 30 days or 60 days, they wouldn't have this feeling of being a slave to the one who borrowed or they got the money from. This impatience bleeds over into our romantic relationships or our dating relationships. Years ago, I remember conversations listening to my father and others of that culture of that time where they would talk about the work or time it would take to go from, say, first base to third base. Well, if you're in this era of dating and relationships, the quickness by which we get to exchanging inappropriate images and messages through our devices is staggering, and it brings a level of harm into our lives in all kinds of ways. Churches are guilty of this as well. Many churches make decisions as though the kingdom of heaven hangs in the balance on this decision. And oftentimes, leaders will strong-arm language to say, if we don't do this now, then somehow the whole thing falls apart. Well, I have tend to have been a witness to when that is used, well, that's the thing that's going to cause things to fall apart. Our impatience, if we are honest, ushers in a level of brokenness into our lives that often ruins things, robs us of things, and destroys aspects that we might never able to get back. Now, if you're watching this and you don't know who Jesus is, and if you're tired of this fast-paced, impatient, quick-to-act life, well, I would ask you to listen in close, because there is another way. And it's found in a living relationship with Jesus Christ. And I would invite you to hear it as we work our way through the rest of this conversation. If you are a follower of Christ, I want to be very clear with you this morning as well. God, out of love for you in this moment, has set the table for you and I, as Gordon noted last week, to walk in step with the Spirit in a new way, where the work of the Spirit does the hard work of bringing us into a space where we would actually cultivate the things called the fruits of the Spirit. They're on the screen in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the default settings that ought to be growing inside the life of the ones who claim to follow Christ by faith. And again, I want to press on you this morning for a moment, and please hear the nuance of this. When I say default settings that ought to be inside of our lives, I'm not speaking about the external behavior, because I can act in a loving way but still not be loving. I can have moments of joy but experience none of it. I can promote peace in all of its forms, but never really tap into it in my own life. I can give my stuff away in generous demonstrations, but still be really, really greedy. I can act as though I'm patient, but the moment that that moment is over, I'll go and complain to your boss that you weren't fast enough. There can be, and this is true of most humans on the planet, what we act like isn't a reflection of who we really are on the inside at all. The only way for these two things to be married rightly, the only way for this to truly happen, where the inside actually is reflected on the outside, is for someone to follow Christ by faith. Because when we do this, it is His Spirit who lives inside of us, giving me the ability to become someone that I naturally can't become on my own. Let me unpack this for a moment. Several years ago, I started coaching the girls' volleyball team over at East Wilshire Junior High School. Before we begin every practice, I get the girls to do our 10s. And simply what I'm asking them to do is to toss the ball 10 times to the front, 10 times to the right, and 10 times to the left. Their partner, going through a series of footwork drills, is training them, is teaching them to go from a position that they do not know, that is not natural to them, that through time, when they're older, in games where it really matters, they no longer have to think about where their feet go to receive a ball. They no longer have to think about how their arms go to move the ball where they need it to get to. It becomes who they are as a volleyball player. And this is true in any discipline in our lives. And it's the same for Christ followers. God, by His Spirit, forms our heart to the point where love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. These aren't actions we do. We are people who are this. And it requires a training. It takes practice. It takes focus. It takes effort. And here's what it looks like in the area of patience. If you find yourself in a situation where you're getting worked up because this should be going faster than it is, if you're teaching at home right now with your kids, you might identify with this. You look at the question, it's 2 times 3. You know that that's 6. You know that your child knows that that's 6. And somehow on this day, they don't know the answer to that question. And you feel your impatience coming to the surface. You might be at the grocery store, as I've already referenced. You're watching someone pack their groceries. And you're like, wow, they did not do well with geometrical shapes and making sure that squares goes with squares and packing things in an orderly fashion. And there's moments where we might ask, can I do this for you? Not because I'm nice, but because I want to get out and through here. These are the very real moments as Christ followers where we build the discipline in of praying for God's help in this moment to wait well, to wait well, to sit in that moment and allow the Spirit of God to relax your heart, to relax your life, so that you would learn to wait well, to be patient. This is how we cultivate patience. And in time, when we do this over and over and over again, we become a person who doesn't act patient, but we just are, in fact, patient. To finish our conversation this morning, I want to end with, well, why on earth would we do this anyway? Why focus on becoming a person who is patient? Why does it even matter? Well, simply put, well, it matters because God is, in fact, patient. He is patient with us. He calls to us. He whispers to us. He beckons us into life. Through the duration of our life, he is patient with us. This is why Peter says in 2 Peter 3:9, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. In my own life, God's patience is everywhere. From my ups and downs, he is there patiently working with me. In my full-on walkaways and foolishness, God is patiently working with me. In my flat-out sinfulness, God is patiently working with me. And he's working with you. Several summers ago, we were camping with some friends. They have 2 boys that are young, and they love to fish. Well, they would go fishing, but they would come back to their dad with the fishing line just tangled in every direction, where it was just one big giant knot. I was amazed watching them bring the line to their dad. Their dad would sit on the patio, sit on the couch, sit in the chair in the kitchen, wherever he was, and he would quietly, gently, patiently pull it all apart, getting it back to the way that it's supposed to be. That image has never left me because it's an incredible image of God's patience with us, where we go fishing, we go do life, we get it all tangled up, and we come back to him for help, and he patiently works with us, pulling it all back together again. When I understand that God's posture is patience, when I understand that this is how he is with me, well, my posture towards others in my life becomes the same. My heart learns to go slow. In my life, with my spouse, with my kids, with my church family, with my friends, knowing that God is patiently working with me, I patiently engage with people in my life. I don't get it right all the time. Just ask my wife and ask my friends. But it's a very real dynamic where I become a better husband if I have patience with my spouse. And my wife is an incredible wife because she has incredible patience with her husband. I become a better father with my children if I'm patient with them, if I'm slow with them. I become a better pastor and leader if I'm patient with people that God has entrusted to our care. I become a better friend if I'm patiently working and walking with people in life. My heart goes slow. The things that God is about often take time. I don't need to rush through. I don't need to hurry through, which in turn keeps a lot of harm and brokenness out of my life. Patience. When we, by the Spirit, cultivate patience, we actually become a person who is, in fact, patient. We are a joy to be around. Life is just better. I'm a better parent. I'm a better spouse. I'm a better boss. I'm a better colleague. We make better decisions. And when you place the conversation of patience inside the mission of Christ followers as we declare the gospel to a world that's lost, well, we become far more effective with people because we don't quickly move on from them. We're in it for the long haul. If they don't respond right away to the good news of Christ, we don't move on to the next one. No, we stay, we pray, we walk with, we build meaningful relationships, knowing that God is at work calling them, and I, like He, am patient with them so that they may one day turn and know and walk with the living God who brings things that are dead back to life. Patience. Why on earth would we want to go back to a normal where we were just impatient everywhere? Let's create a new normal. Help from the Spirit to be followers of Christ who are patient. Because this just might be one of the qualities that which God uses in your life to draw people to who He is and to a living relationship with His Son. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, in this moment in time, let's learn to go slow. Let's learn to cultivate. Let's learn the disciplines. These moments where we feel ourselves getting anxious and worked up because we want to go quicker, that in that moment we would invite Your Spirit into our lives to help us go slow. Help us realize that there are other things at play. That our inner life would be actually reflected of our outer life. That we would be someone who is patient because You are patient. And that this would shape all aspects of our lives. For Your glory, we pray these things in the beautiful name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.